Welcome back, everybody. Today, we've got episode 55 of the Bullshit Hour coming your way. Bass is still feeling a little under the weather, so you got me and Tyler today. So we're doing a little check-in on the winter season for the shows we're not watching in the rundown. Because, you know, there's a lot of bangers out there. We're not covering them all. And, you know, we do our due diligence as D-gens, and we make sure that we stay up to date on some of the latest anime. And Tyler stays up to date on way more than I do. Holy shit, the guy's like 17 weeklies he's watching right now, which blows my mind. But speaking of Tyler, man. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm a busy man. That's all I like. All I do is watch anime, basically, which I enjoy. So, or I wouldn't be doing it. But I actually thought like the winter season was going to be kind of like, you know, mid or like not as many heavy hitters. But we actually got a few big bang shows and like a lot of decent ones, or at least for me. So
yeah, definitely. I feel like some really good shows have carried over from fall, which has kind of helped. But, you know, there have been some like some sleepers coming in for winter 24 that I'm pleasantly surprised by. But before we get into some news, if you guys want to support the podcast, the best way to do so is to rate it. Tell your friends, tell your weeb, share us on your socials. Do whatever you can to help us out. And if you have any interesting topics you'd like us to discuss, hit us up on our socials. Jump in the Discord. Let us know. Linktree.com/animedegens. And let's get into some news. Tyler, you want to go first?
Yeah. So our first bit of news we got is there is a Bocchi movies. And the compilation movies is going to be part one's coming out in spring 2024. And part two is going to be coming out in summer 2024. And I'm pretty sure, like I said, these are compilation movies. So they're just like basically recap, I guess. Instead of watching like the 12 episodes or whatever, I guess it's split 6 episodes. So I guess some people will enjoy that. I'm probably going to watch it if it's in dub, just because it's been probably, I think, like a year and a half since I've seen Bocchi. So might as well.
Nice. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do anything like, because that's how the Gurren Lagann movies are, right? They're a compilation of season, the first half and then the second half. But then they changed a lot of stuff. So I'd be curious if Bocchi's just going to compile it up, or if they're going to add like an alternate ending or something like that, you know, do something cool. So
it would be really cool if they like added some extra concerts or some shit. Because the couple that they did, the one big one at the Culture Count Festival or whatever, was really, really good. That shit was banging. So
awesome. And our next piece of news. So I know we're all waiting for the Naruto remake that Studio Perot is working on, but they've got some bigger fish to fry, or some bigger French fries to fry. And we're getting a McDonald's anime done by Studio Perot. And I have no idea how they're going to do this, but all I know is there was waifus eating chicken nuggets dipped in barbecue sauce. So I'm here for that.
Yeah, I don't know if I wanted to be a full-fledged like one cower season, or if I just wanted to be like a OVA or some shit, you know, because I don't know how much I could deal with hearing the ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Dude, imagine if like the main character is like going Super Saiyan, and instead of screaming, he's just going like ba-da-ba-ba-ba the whole fucking time.
I just want to let you know, you got so high for that, we didn't even hear it. So
oh, really?
Like the end of it.
Oh no, my mic, my noise gate's not good enough for me. It didn't like it. I liked it.
I enjoyed it. We, you know, the video watchers can see the excitement in your like preparedness of that.
I mean, just imagine Goku screaming ba da ba ba ba. And then like having his hair turn into a chicken nugget. Actually, it turned into French fries.
Yeah. Spiky there we
golden
go.
French fries.
Well, they even had like the putting the pack in the French fries in the damn box, bro.
Oh, dude, that fry tool is nifty, let me tell you. Yeah. As somebody in my high school days, I was a manager at McDonald's, so this is gonna hold a special place in my heart. And I feel like we're going to have to check it out for the podcast. I mean, what's bigger than McDonald's in anime, you know?
I mean, we checked out Vending Machine, so, I mean, it's that type of show, right? We got to. We got to see what Ronald McDonald looks like, right?
Dude, if Ronald's the villain, like, I just hope we get to run into Grimace, and Grimace is, like, a bad guy, and he's just, like, staring into the main character's soul and not saying a word. Like, that would be the funniest fucking thing in the world to me.
What if Wendy is the antagonist?
Oh shit, that would be peak. All I could think of while watching this, and if you guys have Steam, or if you're a PC gamer, if you want to check out the dumbest thing you'll ever see, the Kentucky Fried Chicken Dating Simulator. I believe it's called Colonel Sanders Coon, a finger licking good dating simulator, and it is the wildest ride you'll ever go on. It's like one of those classic, like, anime dating games, but you're some girl swooning over the colonel.
Okay.
And his secret spices.
You know, as much as I hate to say this, but I'm 100% certain that we've talked about this in a past episode.
Oh, it was like, I used to, back when I streamed, it would be a charity goal. And if we hit like a certain amount of money donated to the kiddos, I would play it and I would get very into the characters. It was not one of my best moments,
but it was a fun moment.
It was great comedy, but for me, I wanted to hang myself the entire time I did it.
No. You should play the game. We talked about me playing. That shit was hard as hell. So I need to check out the Colonel, the KFC one. So, but speaking of that, the next thing we got on our news list is Netflix is actually working on more Pokemon Concierge episodes. We only got 4 out right now. I think they're like 4 minute, 4 episodes of roughly 15 to 20 minutes. They're kind of shorter. And we got Netflix is confirmed they're working on more. And I enjoy this. This was a really fun watch for me. It was just chill. Think of Pokemon on a resort. Just the daily life of being on a resort, working. If we did our Isekai into another world thing again, I would pick this, honestly, hands down.
So there's no adult men in the world, and children are just running rampant with Pokemon. It's just like a nice Mexican resort, you know, like you're in Cancun.
There's adults. These are young adults that are working here. You got like the surfer dude, like the chill, brah, you know,
solid
dude. Yeah. And you got the new worker who's like got the hard at work, the work ethic, you know, that wants to just work their ass off, and it's just chill. It's got the beach vibes, you know what I mean? So, but
awesome. I gotta get Netflix again so I can check it out. I've just been slacking because I don't want to give him my money.
if you're a fan of Pokemon, even though this kind of looks weird, it's animated a little weird, but it's definitely like the dubbed is good. It's Netflix dubs are usually pretty decent, and I loved it. It's just chill.
Isn't it claymation?
It looks something like claymation. I don't. Okay. I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But it definitely looks like claymation. But they actually, like I said, they do a good job with it. You can definitely tell it's like claymation or some shit. But it's actually pretty good. So,
I mean, like some of my favorite movies from my childhood are claymation. Like you got Wallace and Gromit. You got Chicken Run. Like they're all classics.
I wouldn't Rudolph. That too.
Was Rudolph claymation? Probably. Yeah.
I think so. It was like, yeah, it's basically that kind of shit. So,
yeah, but that makes sense then.
So, but
awesome. For our next piece of news, we got Go-Go Loser Ranger is going to be a Disney Plus exclusive, which means in the States we'll probably get it on Hulu. That's usually how the Disney Plus vibes go for us.
We hope.
It did for Bleach. It did for like all these other shows that were like Heavenly Delusions. Like those are supposed to be Disney Plus exclusives.
Well, I'm pretty sure they didn't do it for Summertime Rendering way back when, but maybe they got so much backlash, right?
That could be it. I mean, yeah. I think Hulu, Disney Plus, and Watch ESPN are all going to combine into one thing eventually anyways. But hopefully they come up with a better name, because I don't want to go to Disney Plus and watch Family Guy. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, you know?
They could, well, I was going to say, just name it like Adult Swim, but I'm pretty sure that's two different companies, right?
Yeah, they can come up with some cool name for it. But that's not on me. I don't work for Disney.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for this anime. It looks like everything we love about Power Rangers, but really dark. And like, the Power Rangers aren't good people in this. So I'm excited for that. I think it's gonna be really fun. And that's gonna drop on April 7th.
Yep. And I think we'll probably look into it a little bit more for our spring look in or whatever. So it looks like it's gonna be fun. But the next news that we got is Haikyuu earned the movie Battle at the Garbage Dump, I think it is.
Yeah.
They actually earned 2 billion yen in the first 3 days, or more than 2 billion yen in the first 3 days, which makes it the sixth biggest opening weekend in Japan box office history. That's pretty huge just for a Haikyuu movie, you know. So I'm pretty excited about that. That means it's probably pretty good, and I can't wait for it to come over here to the States.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a lot of money. That's 13 million US. And for like, you got to think, Japan is like, while there's a lot of people, or it's a smaller market than the US. That's really impressive.
Yeah, and for it to be the sixth biggest opening weekend in Japan box office history, I'm sure that's taken into account, like, you know, all movies, not just anime. So,
yeah, that's crazy impressive. That's awesome. I'm really excited to watch that.
Yeah. I'm sure Ghibli's like up there and you know, tops as well. So they're competing with Ghibli shit right now. So
yeah.
But
awesome. And then our last piece of news we have is that My Hero Academia season 7 is being weird. They're gonna drop their season a month late in the spring anime season. So yeah. Not sure if we're gonna cover that on the rundown anymore. We were planning on it because we did the last season and we all enjoyed it. But that would really throw off the schedule, because we'd get it halfway through spring, and if it runs for 24 episodes, like, it's going to go halfway through fall, and then we're going to be sitting there with, like, twiddling our thumbs for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks waiting for it. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see how we approach that, but big L from My Hero Academia there. Stick to the fucking schedule, boys.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They've had a year to work on this, so I'm not sure why they would be dropping it late, unless it's like a short season or something, but I don't think it is. I ain't seen nothing about that. So
no, like, yeah, every one of their seasons has been roughly 24-25 episodes, so like, stick to the program, boys, come on.
Yeah, so we'll have to figure out what we're doing with that. And yeah, I think that's all the news, I believe.
Awesome, so let's get right into our topic of discussion for the evening. Or episode, if you're listening in the morning, because that doesn't make much sense. But, so we had another topic on the agenda, but with Bass being sick, we didn't want to do it with two people. You know how it goes. So we decided, you know, it being the midpoint of winter 2024, it was the perfect time for us to come in and kind of discuss some of the other shows we're watching outside of the rundown. And, you know, depending on time, we might get into some of the other shows we're watching. I'm watching some shows that aren't winter 2024, but they're bangers. And Tyler's got 47 shows to talk about, so I'm going to have to cut him off at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get through as many as I can, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
But awesome. To start, we're going to start with a couple of shows that we're both watching. One is new to winter 2024, and one is a continuation from last season. So far, they've both been bangers. So, Tyler, we're going to start with Solo Leveling.
Yeah. So, if y'all don't know much about Solo Leveling, it is about it's Studio A1 Pictures is the studio that's animating it. It's 8.46 on MAL, and it's going to be 12 episodes, which I was kind of expecting to be longer than that, with it being so hopped up or whatever. But, to get to a little description of it, because some people may not know about this show, and that's what we're here for, kind of. So after the appearance of the gate, ordinary people gain powers to combat monsters. Sung Jin Woo, deemed the world's weakest, hunts monsters tirelessly to pay for his mother's medical bills. His life takes a turn when a mysterious quest log appears, demanding intense training that can transform him into a formidable hunter. And It was actually like, I didn't know what to think about it because I thought it was going to be like a comedy or something like that. So
this is a comedy is funny.
I mean, going into this, I didn't really hear much about it. I heard it was about the world's weakest fighter or some shit. And I'm like, well, if it's the world's weakest fighter, then obviously it's going to be a comedy, right? You would think that. That's what anime has taught us, right? So, and then we watched, I think it was the second episode or maybe the third. I'm not sure which. It might have been the first. I don't know.
It was a combination of the second and third.
Okay. And I was just like, nope, I don't think this is comedy. I don't think so.
This shit is so dark. I just remember watching the first episode and I'm like, when I see an anime coming out that's getting really hyped up, I purposely don't do any research because I just want to go into it without like an opinion.
Yeah.
And I thought this was going to be an isekai based on the fact that I was like, oh, Solo Leveling, it's a video game. But no, this is a guy in real life. Somehow they get reverse isekai'd and there's these gates and monsters come out of them. And all of a sudden, he is in a tomb with the scariest motherfucking smile I have ever seen in anime. I was like, what the fuck? This is terrifying. And people just start dying left and right. Like, I was like, what the fuck is going on, dude?
It's a little bit too early for this shit, huh?
Literally. Like, you're like, oh, he's assembling a team. This is fun. Nope, everybody's dead.
Yeah. It definitely surprised me. And at that point, it took me by surprise, and then it became one of my favorites of winter 24 at that moment, because I was like, okay, this is going places. I like this
definitely. And I really enjoy the way they're adapting like video game leveling to a real person. And they literally stole his workout from One Punch Man. Like, he does 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and runs 10 kilometers a day, and he's literally turning into Saitama with a sword. Like, it's awesome.
Daggers.
He's got a sword too at some point.
I would assume so. But I guess getting into that, like, do you have like any favorite characters that stand out for you?
Oh, it's got to be Sung Jin-Woo, dude. I mean, like, I don't know, everybody else is pretty much just a side character. We haven't really met anybody who's going to be like integral to the story, I guess, besides his sister. But she's kind of just there for now.
Yeah, I'm curious what, like you said, they haven't really like spent a whole lot of time on anybody else. I think they've shown flashes of the top hero or whatever, hunters. Top hunter. They keep on showing flashes of him, and it kind of makes sense now after what's happened in the recent weeks. But I'm actually like, I'm a big fan of Jin-Woo as well, but I'm actually wondering what they're going to use Julie for, with the girl, you know, that kind of likes him or whatever. Is she just going to be like a semi romantic interest, or like, is she actually going to start going on raids with him? I'm not sure. They spent a lot of time like looking at her in the early episodes, and then it just kind of went away from it. So I'm curious what they're going to do with her.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if she gets over the trauma that she went through during that raid. I mean, like, we're trying not to spoil stuff, but it's hard to talk about a show without like light spoilers. But dude, she's fucked in the head. I don't know. I don't know if she's coming back. But, like, yeah, I mean, I kind of like how they're really only focusing on Sung Jin-Woo, because, like, it's called Solo Leveling for a reason. Like, we should be focusing on the guy who is leveling solo-y, you know? I can solo-ly? A word?
Yeah, we can make it a word, so.
Now it's a word.
Yeah. But, yeah, I understand that. But also, there's, you gotta, like, have help, too, as well, and I think her being a healer.
I don't think he needs help, dude. Come on.
Well, her being a healer, maybe. So I think maybe her character is going to be like used in a way where he kind of brings her along, maybe, and helps her get over her trauma that happen together, because she obviously won't have to fight very hard, right? After a while. Not saying right now, but after a while, maybe if he keeps his training routine up, she won't be able to, you know, worry. She won't have to worry about much. So,
yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, yeah. he has an ability in his back pocket that heals him back to full health. So, like, I don't know if he needs a healer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, get her confidence up. You know what I mean? You don't have to use them in your back pocket.
You're thinking nice, you know, like he's solo leveling. He doesn't need help.
Yeah, but so far he's had some kind of help with him, you know, and he's about to join a group or something, right? So maybe.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get paid a lot of money to Sherpa some guy.
Yeah. So what if Julie joins that group too, is what I'm saying.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah. You got that money rolling in. So
get that paper.
Take advantage of them rich people. Love that.
Definitely. Yeah. And one thing too with this show is I think the pacing's been really good. Like, they've been doing a really good job of giving us cliffhangers, which I hate, but I understand. And like, no episode has just been really dull. Like, even when he's in the hospital, like, recuperating, it's still been a fun episode. Like, you got nurses all over him because he goes from being some scrawny guy to some super swole buff dude.
You're getting all that attention now, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got the ladies all over him. Some nurse gives him his number and he doesn't know what to do. He's like, oh, maybe it's to check up on me. I'm like, nah, bro.
I just really don't hope. I really hope that a sister complex doesn't develop, or a brother complex from the sister.
Oh, we don't need that.
I'm just saying, I really hope that it doesn't happen, because it could happen based on, you know, the sister having a prominent role, or more of a prominent role than most people. And the fact that he's getting all this attention from the ladies and, you know, all that stuff, you know how anime goes. I'm afraid of this anime becoming anime. You know what I mean?
Hey, this is, I don't know how the Koreans do, but this is Korean written, so maybe there's hope we're not going to get that.
Who knows? I mean, anime is anime, you know what I mean? So
true.
But yeah, I don't have anything to say about the pacing. I think it's been good so far, but I think it wouldn't hurt to even go a little faster sometimes, so just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like tough because like the show is just one big training montage with epic battles in between it, you know? So like, you can't take away the leveling portion of an anime called solo leveling, you know?
Yeah. I could stand to see a little bit more fights.
A little less cliffhangers.
This is just nitpicking at this point, because right now, you know, I'm really enjoying this anime.
This is definitely one on the list where I can agree with the mouse score. You know, I'm probably not gonna give an 8.46, but like, this is an easy 8 in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. It's right now it's like a low 8 for me as well, but it could go up a lot more, but I don't see it going into the 9 range, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see how the first season ends. I mean, I haven't read the source material, so I'm not sure. Yeah. But awesome, I guess. You got anything else? I mean, did we touch on the animation?
No, but it's actually really good.
Crispy.
Yeah. I mean, coming from who did this? A1. So A1's a really, you know, consistent studio. So I expected it, but it actually looks really good. The fights have been really good. I really don't have anything to complain about.
The blood looks really good. This is a very bloody anime. So if you're into that, like, not Chainsaw Man caliber of blood, but like, it's pretty gory.
I mean, even though the fights has been really well, so far, there haven't been like any, like, you know, 9 or 10 out of 10s yet, but I feel like it's coming.
It's early.
Yeah. We're halfway through the season and we've got like really good fights. They just haven't been like the spectacular fights, because, you know, the best thing that's happened for me in the show so far is probably the episode 2 to 3 dungeon scene. That was you know, obviously my favorite part of the show. That's when I was like, holy shit, what are we watching?
Yeah. Like, it was actually scary. Like, you could actually, like, feel the fear that the characters were showing. And, like, I love when a show does a good job of that.
Yeah. And I love when anybody can die. I love when that happens. There's really not plot armor, I guess, for a lot of people, except for, I guess, the MC or whatever, you know? So.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that a plot armor. That's just a plot development, yeah, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. You want to get into our next show?
Yeah. What is it?
So next we got Shangri-La Frontier. And this was the runner up from our anime battle royale. Weekly rundown battle royale.
With Kriegs and me and you, right?
Yeah, and we were trying to pick two shows for the rundown, and we ended up on Frieren and Undead Unlocked.
Undead Unlocked, yeah.
Which are both bangers in their own right. But Shangri-La Frontier has really surprised me. So right now on MAL, it's got a 7.99. It's going to run for 25 episodes. We're a little over halfway through the second half of the first season, I guess. It's done by Studio C2C, and it's based on a Japanese web novel by Katarina, and it's her first manga, so it's pretty impressive that she came up with something that's a banger like this, you know?
I mean, she actually done a really good job, I think, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, we all thought this was just going to be a generic video game MMORPG story, but, like, they've blown my expectations out of the water.
Yeah, mine too. I thought I was going to lose interest very fast in this, and... That's
yeah, here we are, 19 episodes later, yeah, talking about it. Like, me and Tyler talk about this show, like, literally every week off the podcast. Like, we both love this shit.
Yeah, it's so good. So,
but to get into it, so a little synopsis. High schooler Rikuru Hizutome enjoys playing poorly made games. This guy is the king of trash, ladies and gentlemen. He's recommended Shangri-La Frontier, a popular MMO. VR game, MMORGP VR, VR MMORPG.
Yeah, and that one.
When he starts, he sells off everything he has. He sells off all his starting gear, and all home he's wearing is a pair of shorts and a bird mask. And from that point on, I was like, this is my fucking boy. He knows how to play video games.
Yeah, I think his reasoning for wearing a bird mask, if I recall correctly, is because it's so embarrassing. Yeah, all he had on was shorts. He didn't want nobody to see his face or something like that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he just get hooked on this game. Like, he's hooked on the challenge, and he faces tough monsters, realizing that mainstream games can actually be difficult without being glitchy. And utilizing his skills from his past gaming experiences, his eccentric playstyle gains a lot of attention in Shangri-La Frontier. So, this show just, like... I went into it thinking it was going to be like some bland, normal video game anime. And like we said, it just blew our expectations out of the water. The character development's been really fun. And like the way that Sunraku, who is, he's Utome, Sunraku is his avatar. Just the way he handles some of these fights is so fun, man.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites to watch weekly. I haven't missed an episode yet. And I gotta say, like, the I gotta give a shout out to, like, the OST, like the music. Oh, the yeah, music in it, man. Like, not only does the OPs went hard, especially the first one, I like the first OP better, but like the actual music inside of the show, the episodes or whatever, it goes hard. Like, they know how to, they know what to play, they know when to play it, and they know how long and how loud, and like, they just do it so perfectly. It's just so well put together. And I definitely didn't expect it, so.
Oh, definitely. And, like, even going off the music, like, the way they're telling this story it's just been so good for me. Like, they're not, like, sticking on too many things for too long. Like, they're progressing at a really good pace. But once we finally got to, like, a big boss battle, they gave it, like, its flowers. And it lasted, what, 4 episodes?
Yeah, and Yeah, it lasted a while. And, you know, with it doing that, like, I believe it, this fight scene that we're, this fight that we're talking about, it could be a potential candidate for fight of the year 2024. That's how good they did this. So,
yeah, no, the animation in this fight was crazy. And, like, they brought so many good video game aspects into it. Like, okay, we're fighting a boss. We have to learn his attack patterns. We have to learn how to counter his moves. We have to find his weak spot. Like, they do such a good job with that in this show.
Yeah, all the mechanisms and stuff like that. They do a good job showing him grinding as well, but not overdoing it. They know how to show it, but not show it, I guess you could say.
Oh, and, yeah, like... Yeah. They'll do it for half an episode, but they'll just show how he's grinding. And then I'll be like, oh, by the way, he's level 38 now. You know, it's not like we're watching him sit there and punch trees for three episodes.
Yeah. And even though you got Son Raku, I think this show really thrives because you got so many great supporting characters. You know, some of my favorites are like Emil. I like Emil, the little bunny rabbit thing, and I like, you know, the pops of it. I just like the whole, I think it's called Rabbitusa. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's called something like that. The little rabbit village, the unique thing or whatever.
Location, yeah.
Yeah. That whole scenario, the unique scenario is like, one of my favorite places. I really enjoyed that they brought that in. I really enjoy Emil. As y'all know, I think she was my best animal. Pet.
Emil won a DG.
Yeah, yeah.
So like we're not talking her up here. She won one of the most prestigious awards in anime, guys. And like you've all heard of the DGs, they're a huge deal. Like we're right up there with the Crunchyroll awards, you know.
<We're-> I might say we're better than the Crunchyroll Awards.
And we know it.
But yeah, definitely. Do you have any like characters that you liked other than like Emil and Son Raku, which are goats?
Yeah, I really liked Arthur Pencilgon. And like at first, I was like, wow, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
She was. She just shows up and tries to kill Son Raku. She's like, oh, I know you. Now die.
Yeah, that's a gamer in her though, you know. That's the gamer, and she knows that Son Raku is a very skilled person, so she wants to just test her luck, see how he stacked up over here.
Yeah, except he's 75 levels lower than her and hanging. So that's freaking impressive, man. Yeah, I really like her. Like, I've just really enjoyed her character progression. I mean, when we're introduced to her, she's a PKer. She kills players. And you just see a lot of like development from her, which I've really enjoyed. And like one of the funny things of this show too is like we're getting introduced to characters that Son Raku actually knows from previous games. So like Pencilgon, Son Raku, and then the third like I guess main character Oikatsu, like they all know each other from some other trash game where Oikatsu and Son Raku basically stormed Pencilgon's castle. And like defeated her in this game. So like there's a little bit of bad blood there, but they get past it. And it's really fun to see her character development.
I also like how they do the whole, you know, he plays the trash games too. Not only does he play Shangri-La Frontier, he also goes and, you know, meets up in these trash games and plays them sometimes as well. And I also love how they show that the community for trash games are pretty like close-knit and they know everybody because it's so like I guess unique, you know what I mean? So I love how they show that.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's like when they go back and he's like, I'm gonna go do some training in a different game so like I can stay up to date on my mechanics, and he goes and fights this random person that he meets in this other MMO, and like she's like throwing like the gomu no gatling at him, like just throwing stretchy arms and shit, and it's awesome.
Yeah. And I think we forget about it, but remember back when it first started, you had the princess or whatever.
Oh, remember? God, fuck her.
I just want to go back and watch a clip of her. I forget what she says, but that shit was so funny, especially at the end. You know, he's like, it's my time to shine. I can finally beat her ass.
just drop kicks her in the face while wearing shorts and a luchador mask. Like,
yeah.
And did you notice in the last episode they had a callback to that game?
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, somebody was like, I should go play a different game. And he's like, I recommend this game. And it's the one with like the fairy princess.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't remember the name of the game or whatever. So,
yeah.
But I think it was there when we actually seen him kick the princess in the face, which is like a couple episodes into the first episode. Oh, the first episode.
Yeah,
and that's when you know the animation was going to go hard as hell.
Oh, yeah. We spent a lot of time talking about that during the weekly rundown Battle Royale. Like, it was the funniest moment. Like, it was so clean.
Yeah, and they consistently just kept on animating this shit cleanly. The colors are like very nice. You know, it looks like it's probably hand drawn for the most part. The animation is what it looks like, and the colors just are really nice, especially like Sunraku's bird head. I really love that blue, that light blue color. So,
yeah, and I mean, speaking of the animation, like, the backgrounds in this are gorgeous. Like, they look straight out of a Final Fantasy game. You know, like, they did a really good job of the environments. The character designs are all really fun. And, like, yeah, it's just awesome. I don't even know what else to say, you know?
Yeah, I think I would definitely, of course, I'm sure both of us would probably definitely recommend this. I think this is honestly a must watch because it just has great action. You know, if you like the video game style of anime, it's definitely, you gotta check it out. I thought we was gonna get bored. I thought I was gonna get bored of this, and here I am, I think almost 20 episodes in, and I'm still like waiting every week to watch this. And it's got some funny moments in it too. It ain't all just like fighting and action. They know it's pretty mixed. It's pretty well balanced, I think. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, the last like 4 weeks, I have been more excited to watch this than any show on the rundown. It's like we were just hitting such a pivotal arc and like the, you know, like the culmination of everything we've been doing for like this whole second part of the season.
Yeah.
And like I was like waking up Saturday morning, like, all right, time to watch Shangri-La Frontier. Like, I don't care about Undead. I don't care about Free Run. Like, we're watching this first.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm not going to get into spoilers here, but this last fight that happened, which people who are caught up and Dan knows what I'm talking about. I love how they, not only is this a great fight, but it also has world building and great story involved into this fight. And especially like in the later bits of the fight where no one have ever gone before, and it was kind of unexplored territory. And I really love how they show that and show how the Shangri-La Frontier game is so advanced, I guess you can say. I love that.
Oh yeah, there's some serious AI going on in this video game, because like the conversations you have with NPCs, like they recognize you and they recognize like what you've done with them and stuff like that, which is, I really hope gaming can get to that point for us, because that would be so awesome. I mean, it's as easy as integrating ChatGPT, but I'm not going to tell people how to do their job.
Yeah, it makes me very jealous that I can't play a game like this. And I'm pretty sure I brought this up in another episode too. What, the Christmas wish list?
You stole this one out of my mouth. Yeah. Like, I was like, I want full dive gaming. And I was like, fuck, I literally wrote like this whole like two paragraph thing at like bullet points of what I wanted and why. And then I go up and I'm like, oh, fuck, Tyler picked that.
I beat you to it because at the time we was watching Shangri-La Frontier, and like it's just gorgeous. It's just great. It's just what you want a game to be, you know, so.
Definitely. Like, if we got an MMO like that, that was full dive, I would easily take a week off of work just to lie in my bed and play that game.
Yeah, I think for me, since we're wrapping this up, I think this is like around a low 8 right now for me, or like a mid 8. And I think that it could probably go into height. I don't think it's going to go down, honestly. We're too late into it. I loved it so much, unless something huge happens that I just absolutely hate, which I don't think is going to happen. So
yeah, I don't think we're going to get a My Home Hero out of this show. Yeah. Like, the writing's just been too good. And yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I'd give it a low 8.0. I don't know, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's definitely solid. Definitely, I think we both say it's probably a must watch if you like those type of games. Obviously, it's not for everyone, but it's for most people, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it does. You don't even have to like video game anime. Like, if you like fantasy anime, you'll probably enjoy this because, like, I'd say, what, 90% of the show so far has taken place in the video game. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a friend from school who's got a big crush on Sunrakyo and just happens to be the strongest
badass
in the game. She's some nervous little girl who can't talk to Sunrakyo. So, like, there's some really good humor with it.
Yeah.
And Vash is my fucking boy. Next show.
Yeah, yeah. So, I guess that wraps it up for our two shows that we've both watched. And now we're just going to get into some of our, I guess, favorites of the winter season so far, before we move on to like the not so favorites, I guess, right? Is that what we're doing, kind of?
I'm gonna go in a little different order, but that's because, yeah, I want to save the best for last for me.
Okay, well, I'm kind of saving some of the best for last, so, but I'm gonna start it off with Dangers in My Heart season 2. It is 8.81 on MAL, 13 episodes by Shin A Animation. This is basically like your high dive rom-com slice of life thing. And for y'all that don't know, this is season 2, obviously. And for y'all that don't know, I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast. It's about the boy that fantasizes about killing or whatever, his crush or whatever, you know?
Oh, this was the show that made us think you were a serial killer.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Now I know what we're talking about.
But like I said, that whole thing, like, it's like a phase, you know what I mean? It's like a facade, you know, that he puts on to make people kind of leave him alone because he's like the loner weirdo kid, you know? So I get it. And, you know, this show has had like a lot of character growth because that Ichikawa is no more. And before I get too deep into it, I'm going to read y'all a synopsis. This is about Ichikawa, a middle school boy who has a huge crush on a beautiful girl named Yamada. This season basically just keeps building their relationship while showing huge character growth for both MCs from the first season. And one of the reasons why I like this so much is the character growth. You got Yamada, which is the girl. She's like a model. And she's very pretty or whatever. And she honestly carried like the first season, but I think now they're equally carrying the second season because Ichikawa has grown like so much. He's went from hiding behind his serial killer facade, like I said, to actually being a kind and caring boy who's becoming like capable of being Yamada's boyfriend and not just your average middle school weirdo. Because, you know, you knew that middle school weirdo back in the day, you know? But basically, this has been my favorite romance show of this season. And probably, honestly, if I had to say the last year, this wow. is so good. Yeah, this second season is so good. And I think the only ones that come close to it is probably Insomniacs After School. That's how good this is for me.
Okay. I was going to be like, you like this more than Insomniacs? Because that was like your bag.
I do like it more than Insomniacs, but Insomniacs is the only one that's close to it.
Okay. So
that's how much I enjoy this. Like I said, it's definitely a slower romance with a bumpy start in season 1, as I've mentioned several times. But like I said, this season is so much better than season 1. I think I had season 1 at like a high 7 after it ended, and I think this one right now is a high 8 for me and potentially a 9 depending on how this goes. It is definitely a slow burn romance because the two main characters obviously aren't together yet. They're building their relationship, you know, so far. But I'm thinking maybe they probably will be together by the end of this season, is the way it's looking, hopefully, maybe. But nice. If not, it's not a big deal for me, so I'm patient, so.
Gotcha. I have definitely not checked this out, so I have not much input here. But the fact that, like, you're putting it up there with Insomniacs After School, which is something that I actually enjoyed, you know, that was a good anime, a good romance, because it wasn't, like, really annoying high schoolers. It was just a bunch of kids who couldn't sleep, which yeah. I vibe with. I'm an insomniac. Like, you know, I vibe with that heavy. I'm like, oh, I feel your pain, dude.
But yeah. And I feel like I'm pretty confident that you would not like this because
it does have all the tropes,
like the school tropes that you don't like. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. But I mean, I just want to say a few more things before I move on or give the floor to Dan, because like I said, this is my favorite Winter 24 show right now. This is my favorite probably romance of the last year. If you've watched this show, if you've been watching season 2 so far, like the best scenes so far for me is like when they do the karaoke scene in the last few episodes that's aired, and how they integrated that with the intro. That was very special. Like they had Ichikawa singing karaoke, and then it was actually the intro song, the beginning of the intro song, and then it just faded right into the intro song, the OP. It was really neat.
That's clean.
Yeah, it was really neat because you had like the middle school, like his voice is cracking, he's hitting puberty, and he's trying to sing karaoke in front of a bunch of people. And so he's nervous as hell, and then it just goes right into it. And OP for Dangerous in My Heart season 2 is just so good. It's one of my favorites of this season. So, and also the speech scene. I want to shout out the speech scene because, you know, Ishikawa has grown so much to be able to do what he did in that episode. That's my favorite episode yet. And there's a reason why he's been best boy for several weeks in a row now. Actually not even Ichikawa. Yamada's been best girl. They've been best couple. And it's been best anime for like ever since Winter opened, I'm pretty sure. So it's like a Dangerous in My Heart sweep right now for number one on anime, the trending pose or whatever. So really great time. So
awesome. For me.
But
well, my first show, I'm not going to hold in that high of a regard. I had a lot of shows I wanted to watch this season, and this was one I was really excited for because it was Studio Bones' 25th anniversary anime. And like, Studio Bones drops bangers, like Soul Eater, so much stuff, like, you know, like absolute heat. And the show I'm talking about is Metallic Rouge. And well, it has been a letdown for me. Right now, it's got a MAL rating of 6.86. It's a little high, in my opinion. I'm leaning more towards like a mid 5. And it's going to run for 12 episodes, .. maybe. They said they might not even have enough material to handle 12 episodes. So like, I'm 6 or 7 in, and the plot is just a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, so
all over the place.
I heard this started out strong, but it's been flailing like
heavily
the last half, right? So that's all I've heard about it. Obviously, I thought about checking it out, and then I kind of seen that it was potentially like a mecha type thing, maybe, right?
I wouldn't call it mecha, more like magic robotic armor that like goes around somebody. Like, they're not getting in giant robots.
It's close enough for me.
I don't know. It's definitely not a mecha.
But I thought about checking it out, and then I waited a while, and then everyone started saying it was flopping, and I was like, oh, good thing I didn't waste my time on this. So
yeah, I mean, like, one of the things I really don't like about it, I have a few things I really don't like about it, like, they keep introducing all these side characters, and I should probably give a quick synopsis before I go into this because it explains all the characters. So in a world where humans coexist with androids called Neons, a group known as the Immortal Nine rises up against society, tasked with disposing of the revolters. A Neon named Rouge Red Star, aka Metal Rouge, aka the title Metallic Rouge, and investigator Naomi Orthman head to Mars to track them down. But first, Rouge got to eat some chocolate. So at that point, you're like, okay, they're going to bring some humor into it. That sounds fun. But like, no, it's not very funny. There's not a lot of humor in it. It's just kind of all over the place. Like, they keep introducing these members of the Immortal Nine, and then they kill them 15 minutes later. And you never get to know, like, their motives or who they are or why. Like, they have, like, that converse, like, that clash of ideals for 5 minutes, and they're dead. And that's it. Like, it's just the plot. It's just all over the place. There's no building. Like, if they took their time with this and, like, fleshed out the world, it has a lot of potential, but it just seems so rushed.
So I have a question, like, why does, like, this summary have them wanting chocolate in it? Like,
That's all she eats.
Oh, as I was going to say, that sounds like something like MASH and cream puffs, right? But why would you put that in the main summary? You know what I mean? It's just weird.
Yeah, ask Maul. I don't know. I just grabbed it right from their website. I didn't even have to, like, shorten this one. I was like, okay, it's a paragraph. Cool. But yeah, like, it's just bizarre, man. And like, as somebody who works in the field of robotics, I can't vibe with how, like, the Naeons are portrayed. Like, if you're going to make robots to serve your every whim, to do chores, why the fuck are you giving them emotions? Just make them lifeless robots. Like, you don't need somebody to say, like, have a chipper attitude to be a general purpose robot and clean your house. So I don't understand that. They bring a lot of, like, Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics, like, from the olden sci-fi days. Robots can't hurt people. Robots must listen to people. And robots must protect themselves unless it, like, affects rules one and two. So they're bringing all that into it. And it's just, like, a mishmash of sci-fi garbage, which sucks. Because the premises could have been really cool. And, like, I mean, the fights are cool. They're quick. There's no depth to them.
You just don't care about them, I guess.
Well, you don't know who the opponent is. Like, you don't. Oh. They introduce them for 5 minutes and they have this cool fight and then it's over. They're dead. Like, there's no world building at all. And I'm like,
Sounds like no build up, too.
Yeah, no, it's like one episode. Like, yeah. And that's it. And, like, I don't know. I really do appreciate world building. And, like, I feel like if they took, like, 3 episodes to build out each of these fights, and, like, actually dive into the plot and, like, have some character growth and all that. I mean, like, Rouge is starting to, like, gain free will and understand who she is and, like, make her own decisions. But she's still super robotic. Like, all she wants to do is kick ass and eat chocolate, which I fuck with. But, like, at least make everything else good, you know?
That's funny. The chocolate thing throws me off so much, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a major plot point. Like you just see her eating a bar of chocolate. Yeah. Or if she does a good job, Naomi will give her a bar of chocolate.
<That's> so weird. I mean, whatever floats their boat, I guess. So.
And the other thing that sucks is, like, the animation's really good. Like, the sets and everything like that they're in are really pretty. It's very sci-fi-y. It's very, like, I don't want to say, like, cyberpunk-esque, but, like, you kind of get that vibe. But the story sucks, so, like, what's the point, you know? I'll probably keep watching it just because I'm already, like, 7 episodes in, and at this point might as well see if it gets better. But I don't know. I don't think I'd recommend this to other people unless they're really into, like, dystopian robotic futures. Like, I don't know. It's just not that good. And I'm giving it a 5.2. That's what I wrote down.
Well, that's pretty low. That's mid, like, dropping range for me. So
that's just mid as fuck, dude.
Yeah. Well, is that all you got for
metallic rouge? Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'll get into my second one. It's much better than that, at least to me. It's got an 8.3 on MAL, so you know something about it. It's probably good. It's called Sign of Affection. And I think I talked about this in our anticipated winter shows, I'm pretty sure. 12 episodes, Aja Doe, and it's adult romance. So it got an adult cast. It's a romance. This is a shoujo. And Basically, before I get into it, Yuki is a deaf college student who has lived in her same place her whole life and rarely interacts with others except for her best friend, Rin. During her train ride one day, she meets the multilingual Itsumi, a mutual friend of Rin. Unlike most, Itsumi is unwavering when he learns of Yuki's impairment. This, along with his experiences abroad, fascinates her. After they part from the train, her crush on him starts to grow. A new world begins to open for both Yuki and Itsumi as they learn about each other's different lives. And the reason why I like this show so much is, for one, they are adult casts. So you move away from all that high school, like the school tropes, and you just get like the generic romance tropes. And plus, this is a shoujo, which means the characters are usually written better in shoujos, unlike, you know, if they do like shonens with the rom-com shonens, you know what I mean? So
this is meant for like 15-year-old girls instead of 13-year-old boys.
Pretty much. this is meant, yeah.
I just love saying that to you as you're a 30-year-old man just eating this shit up.
Yeah, it's definitely something like that. But honestly, like, I think you would maybe like this. I'm not sure. It might be a little too fluffy and cute for like you, but it is like the adult romance cast. So it's very wholesome. That's why I like it. Adult cast, big plus for some people that don't want to wait for a whole season for them to become a couple is that they actually hook up and become a couple like halfway through the season. So that's a big plus.
Do you get to see them hook up?
Well, I mean, not in that sense, but you get to see some aspects of it. You know what I mean?
A little something.
Yeah. They actually become a couple, you know. It's not like a waiting game. Will they, won't they, top deal.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it, so.
I know, but you do.
when you get to, like, those type of situations, you have like the great character building and relationship building as well. And that's why I love them so much. But this show actually has a couple great antagonists. And one of them's like Emma. She's like the one who wants Itsumi because he's like hot, you know. He's like Gojo. Like, he's white haired, you know, pretty eyes, you know, Gojo, basically. Just a shoujo Gojo. Right. But got her, she's trying to like make Itsumi hers while Yuki is trying to do her thing with him. And then you got Oshi, which is a childhood friend of Yuki's, and he learned sign language as a kid, as he's growing up, and now he's just like kind of mean to her, Yuki, right? So it's just really weird. You learn sign language to be mean to the person that you learn sign language for. I'm assuming that he'll probably be like a love interest, like later on, maybe. Maybe he's being mean to her because he loves her. Damn, dude.
That is some dedicated bullying right there. Like, I'm going to learn to speak your language just to fuck with you. Like, that is impressive.
So far, my impressions of him is he's just a douchebag, you know? So I really hope Itsumi knocks him on his ass sometime or another. They've already got the stare downs going, so we'll see what happens. But I would definitely recommend this. If you're a big fan of like shoujo, if you're a big fan of like the faster romances, I think this is a must watch. It would be my top romance of this season if it wasn't for Dangers in My Heart. So I can't wait to see how this plays out. It's like a low 8 for me right now. So
awesome. So my next show, this is one I dropped, but I was really hyped for it after the first episode, and it's Ishira. This is a Hulu anime. I believe it's a Disney Plus exclusive, as they like to say. Right now on MAL, it's got a 6.55, which is very generous, and it's by Studio Passionet. I don't even have a synopsis of this because I have no fucking clue what's going on. The first episode is really cool. We ended like it had like Attack on Titan vibes, like massive like golems coming out of nowhere and absolutely leveling this city, and then some badass isekai dude just comes out of nowhere and fucks the thing up. And then they just drop that plot, introduce like 17 other characters in 4 episodes that like it's all going to come together eventually, but it lost me. It's just all over the place. Like, I need a cohesive story, you know? Like, I can't do when it's all over the place like that. Like, at least, like, keep one character in it throughout the whole thing, you know? Like, yeah. Don't be like, yeah, we're talking about this dude who got isekai'd. And, oh, by the way, here's a flying talking dragon. And then, oh, here's another flying talking dragon. And you know, here's some weird dude who kills people. Like, it was just, it was a garbled mess. Animation was also super CGI-y. Like,
yes,
they would hand draw the main stuff and then everything else was CGI. And like the humans walking around in the background literally looked like something you would see in like a $20 flash game. Like, it was bad. And I dropped it. I definitely don't recommend it. If you're watching it, Godspeed, my friend. Good for you.
Yeah, I dropped it after 2 or 3 episodes as well. For the first reason is I didn't like the animation. I thought the CGI wasn't good. It's the main reason why I dropped it. And the second reason I dropped it is it was just boring to me.
Yeah.
I just thought it was boring. The fights was like boring. The CGI was just trash, I thought. So.
But like after that first 5 minutes, like it set a hook. You know, like you're watching it and it's just this happy go lucky two friends and all of a sudden the whole town is on fire and people are dying left and right. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then they just left all of that behind and you didn't see it for at least another 4 episodes. Cause I think I watched 4 and I was like, fuck this.
I remember you texting me or something and like, yo, have you seen Ishira? Like, this shit's gas. Like, I guess she was just watching it. And I'm like, yeah, it seems okay. But like, you know, for me, like, like it's unfortunate garbage. Because there's so many other decent action shows out there, and I'm not gonna stick around for a below average, like, uninteresting Hulu original, right? So,
yeah, but like, my favorite show of last year was a Hulu original, yeah. So I can't knock that. I mean, Heavenly Delusions was awesome, and then this was just a garbage heap, like, this.
It was bad.
It was literally where, like, it was just awful. I don't even know how to say it. It was just bad.
Yeah, I definitely don't recommend it either because I dropped it. So I don't even know what I rated it at. Probably a 3.
I don't have a rating. I'm not giving it a show. I watched 3 episodes of rating. I dropped it. It's a 0. We're moving on.
Yeah. Is that it for shit talking to Shira?
That's all I got. Unless you want to shit talk more, I can go all day.
Well, I'd rather talk about my next show. It is much better. It is Apothecary Diaries. It is a show that started in fall and is continuing in winter this season. We're on the second hour right now. And it is setting at an 8.83 on MAU. 24 episodes. It's made by Studio OLM. And I think Toho Animation has a part in it as well. And basically, this is a drama with medical mystery vibes. It's also set in like a older Japan. Time frame. It's like the emperor's court.
Yeah, like feudal Japan.
Yeah, I guess something like that. It's basically happening in like the courts, the like inner outer courts, and like a smaller village or whatever, outlying village or something like that, where Mau Mau is from, I guess. But for those that ain't seen it, a summary goes like, Mau Mau, an apothecary's daughter, has been plucked from her peaceful life, meaning she was kidnapped as she was doing her job, and sold to the lowest echelons of the imperial court. Now merely a maid, Mau Mau settles into her new mundane life and hides her extensive knowledge of medicine in order to avoid any unwanted attention. So she goes into this court, like the emperor's palace, and she's just trying to be a servant, serve her time. They got like a contract or whatever, and then she's allowed to go back home, whatever. And she tries to stay out of sight, out of mind, but it doesn't work because she's a very curious girl. And like not long after she gets there, and the emperor's infant child begins to get sick and is on its deathbed pretty much. And it's like a curse has been cast almost. And she goes and basically solves what's wrong with it and leaves a tip, anonymous tip, trying to stay out of it, but save the baby as well. And it didn't work out because the eunuch Jinshi that I talked about before, and I talked about Apothecary Diaries sometime or another, and Jinshi, the eunuch, like the main one, the head dude, actually figures out that it's her and makes her become, promotes her to be a lady-in-waiting for the emperor's favorite concubine. So that didn't work out well for her. Now she's up in the inner court system as a maid for the first lady. So, but this show is like extremely good. Right now I got it setting at around a 9 for me. These last few episodes was some of the best. Like Mao Mao is probably, you know, she's honestly might be one of my top female anime characters of all time after these last few episodes, and it's just been steadily growing, and she's just like cementing it now, and like now she's like moving into like the top anime characters overall, let alone female. So she's just that great of a character, and Jinshi is no slouch either, but Mao Mao carries the show. She's just so interesting. She's just so smart. And this show is basically, you know, her navigating through all the politics of like the court system while solving the medical cases and other mysteries. And it seems kind of episodic, but it's not, because stuff that happens in some episodes get tied into later episodes because it's all in this court system. So this show is, like I said, one of my top shows. It's honestly probably going to move into my top 10 somehow. I don't know what show's coming out, but this show is just that good. So if it wasn't for Freer and Aaron, like, it would probably be my number one show of fall, winter, maybe the last year. I don't know. It's just good. So I feel like this is a must watch for anyone, especially if you love the mystery type shows. Like I said, this is moving into my top 10. It's got one of my top like women anime characters, and like it's just peak. It's like peak. That's all I can say about it. So if you're not watching it, watch it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check this out because, like, it's not like a slice of life, you know. It's like gonna have some substance to it. I just haven't yet, but it's at the bottom of my watch list on Crunchyroll. Is it on Crunchyroll?
Yeah, it's on Crunchyroll.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, early Apothecary Diaries definitely feels more slice of lifey, and it does feel more slice of lifey at times, but it does have like the drama. It's like heavy drama, you know, you got the political aspect to it, and it's just like the medical, like the apothecary medical shit tied into it. Solving crimes, like deaths, like figuring out how somebody died and what it meant, why they died, because it's, you know, it's the inner courts of like the emperor's palace. Like there's a lot of backstabbing and shit going on. So it's really cool.
So awesome.
Definitely must watch.
Cool. So my last Winter 24 show I'm watching, and I actually just started this last night, is Brave Bang Bravern. And this is a fucking treat. Like, I was going to watch another show that I had. So I had talked about Mr. Villain's Day Off, like when we did like our winter look ahead, like way back in the day. And I was like, that looks really fun. And I was going to watch a few episodes of it last night because I haven't checked it out yet. And Tyler's like, bro, you got to check out Brave Bang Bravern. I've heard so many good things about from the Mecha Bros crowd. I'm like, oh,
yeah. Okay. Shout out Threads community, because y'all the one to put me on to this, to tell Dan and Bass, because that's their shit. They like that shit. So
I'm so happy. Thank you, Threads. If you're not following us on Threads, I'm not because I don't have a Threads, but go follow us on Threads. You can also find the same shit on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now.
Pretty much.
So to start, the MAL rating is a 7.16. People on MAL are idiots. They don't understand a good anime, so fuck them. And it's going to run for 12 episodes. The studio is Cygame Pictures. And for a quick synopsis, in a world where humanoid armored weapons known as, I don't even remember how to pronounce this, Titanostriders, I think it was.
Good, or TS, good
TS for short, they're used in warfare. And these mechas are like what I think like the first generation of like mechs we see are going to be. Like they remind me of the ones from Code Geass. Like they've got wheels on them, like they just zoom around on the ground with like guns blazing, like my kind of shit. So the anime starts out with troops from various countries converging on the island of Oahu, Hawaii, for a little joint exercise. And the two main characters included are Ao Isumi of the Japan Ground Self-Defense Force and Lewis Smith of the United States Marine Corps. Isumi and Smith cross paths during battle, but suddenly their teams are attacked by an unknown enemy, scattering soldiers and sending their forces into disarray. In order to save their friends and survive on the deadly battlefield, they must fight with every ounce of courage and pride they can muster. So, like, this started out, like, pretty casual, and then it just gets so dark and bleak. Like, we're having, like, a joint military exercise, and then all of a sudden aliens fucking come and just start killing everyone. And I was like, oh my God, this is dark. Like, this is going to be awesome. And then we're about to see one of the main characters, like, die, like, get killed by these aliens. And out of nowhere, Bravern, which is like a Gundam-esque mecha, just descends on the battlefield and says, get inside of me. Get inside of me. We will fight together. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? And homie gets to this robot, and then all of a sudden you see hear a theme song straight out of fucking Power Rangers or Gridman, like start playing in the background. And the main character is like sitting there like, where the fuck is this music coming through as they're just fucking up aliens the entire time? And I was just sitting there like, oh my God, somebody wrote this for me. Like, they wrote this for me. This is everything I love. Like, we're getting like a serious like arc. And then we just have like the like fucking what's the word I'm looking for? Is it ton? I have it. I wrote it down. I can't even think. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Like Power Rangers vibes, like, you know, like Gridman vibes coming out of nowhere. And it's just super bleak story. And Braver just comes in and interjects so much comedy into it. Like, I did not expect it all. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? But I'm here for it. Like, I was getting like Gundam meets Gurren Lagann vibes for the mecha world. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dan was hopping this up so much when we was like, I guess, preparing to get our stuff together before this episode. And I was like, you know, this kind of sounds like something that I could potentially enjoy, even though I don't like mecha anime. So.
Oh, dude, it's just it's fucking hilarious. Like, when Bravern turns, he can transform, of course, because that's what we fucking do. So we got Transformers in there. And when he transforms, his logo just flashes behind him. Like, he's actually just making his logo appear in the air. And I'm like, this is so fucking stupid. Because it's not like we're seeing it, everybody's seeing it. Like, everybody in the show is like, where'd that logo come from?
What is that? I was halfway expecting you to say he transformed into Truck Coon.
Nah, he's like a futuristic jet fighter. I don't know.
Okay. Makes sense. Definitely sounds like a really hype show. Dan said he stayed up like really late last night watching this. So.
Oh, yeah. I like was like, oh, I'm going to start it. It's like, I don't know, 11. I'm like, yeah, I'll watch a few episodes. And I looked at him like episode 6. I'm like, oh, shit, it's 1:30. I got to go to bed. I got to wake up in 5 hours to go to work.
You literally almost caught up to it in like one night. So
yeah, I'm 100% gonna finish it tonight when we get off.
Yeah, but I think that's a recommend. Probably, I would say.
Oh, 100% Mecha Bros, check it out. It is peak. Otherwise, like, the mecha designs for the Titano Striders, the TS, are super cool. Like I said, they like really remind me of like the mechs you see in Code Geass, so I fuck with that heavy. And then, like, just out of nowhere, you've got some knockoff like Chinese brand Gundam just showing up out of nowhere, screaming about a human being his soulmate in the springtime of his youth, and just giving off like mad guy sensei vibes, which is fucking hilarious. The last episode I watched had a homoerotic boxing match. Let me tell you, I was getting some high Q vibes from it. There was some tension there between two men. It was reminding me of high Q.
So now Brave, what is even the name of this shit?
Brave Bang Bravern.
Brave Bang Bravern. Braven is now a yaoi anime, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, every time he talks, he just yells his name. I'm like, this is so fucking out of pocket. Like, who thought of doing this? Like, who's like, let's just take, like, the biggest gag we could ever do and make him the strongest fighter in this show?
I don't think I've ever heard of this studio. Have you?
I haven't heard of Cygame Pictures, no.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, I haven't either. I looked up the wrong one. I looked up Ishura. So we don't need to be looking up that
no,
one.
No. But, like, yeah, I mean, the animation isn't anything to write home about. Like, it's not UFO Table or MAPPA, but it's good. You know, it's good enough, and the fight scenes are really fun. I mean, you have a human and a robot yelling their finishing moves at the same time, and, like, mid-scream, he's like, no, we're doing this finishing move, and he changes it up on him as he's screaming it. It's so stupid. It's awesome. Big fan. I 1000% recommend this if you like mechas. It's an absolute treat. And fuck Mal and their trash ratings. Mech Bros, we're still fucking back.
It turns out the studio Cygame Pictures actually does a couple of decent shows. One of them is Uma Musume, which is where girls are like they're horses, but they're girls, and they
do a derby. Yeah, isn't it just a bunch of like moe girls running around as horses?
It's basically a bunch of cute girls with like horse attributes.
What in the
racing derbies?
What in the My Little Pony fuck is that, dude?
I've heard it's so good. I want to check it out. So
didn't somebody do a whole episode? Was it What Do You?
Not yet. They haven't done it yet. But
okay, I knew somebody said they were doing one. I know somebody said they were doing one. I was like, oh my god, good for you.
I don't know if it's. It could have been somebody. It's one of the podcasts that we interact with or whatever. But I know, like I said, what do you say, anime? They've been trying to do it on their watch club, but unfortunately, it gets beat out in the community votes. It's up again right now, so you know, we'll see what happens.
Good for them. I ain't checking out Horse Girls. Horse Girls are crazy enough IRL. I don't need to see animated Horse Girls.
If it wins, I'm definitely checking it out because it looks really cool and unique. So
it sounds dumb as fuck,
but it looks so cool, bro.
All right, listeners, if you're paying attention and you want to get Tyler's digits, just say you like horses.
Just say you are a horse girl. I live in Kentucky, so
he doesn't mean that you're a girl who likes horses. He means you have horse attributes. He wants a tail and some ears,
but not the real thing. Obviously fake.
Furry alert.
Well, this episode is went in a different direction, boys.
Hey, it's why it's the bullshit hour.
But thank you, Brave Bang Bravern, for leading us into this. I don't know how we got here, but here we are.
Geek!
Yeah. So is that all you got for that?
Yeah, man. That's all I got. I'm just really excited to go watch more of it.
I guess I'm watching like a bunch of different other shows, and I'm just going to kind of, I guess, run down through it. And then Dan can run down through what he's kind of watching too, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
So the first one is Delicious in Dungeon, which I've been hopping up on like the socials kind of because I'm really enjoying the dubbed for it. The blonde elf chick named Marcel is actually being voiced by Nami, Emily Rude, which plays Nami on the One Piece live action. And honestly, Marcel is like becoming one of my favorite like female characters because she's just so cool. She's so funny. I really enjoy it. I feel like if you really enjoyed like Campfire Cooking in Another World, you would really love this. And if you're like me and you dropped Campfire Cooking in Another World because it wasn't really interesting enough, I feel like you would like this. Yeah.
Like us. We both dropped that shit.
And I think that you would like this too, Dan, but only as I think if you watch it dubbed, because I think it's really good dubbed. It's Netflix dubbing or whatever, so they're really good. But it's like your chill anime. Like you put it on like when you're bored and you ain't really got nothing else to watch. That's what you watch. And it's got like action in it. It's got like humor and it's got like the character interactions, which make it good. Which is some of the things I didn't like about Campfire Cooking in Another World, because we didn't see him fight anything. It was just cooking the whole time. this is what this is too, but it's got everything else mixed with it. So
hey, I'm gonna feed my wolf. Do you want some food?
Yeah, I mean, the food looked really good in Campfire Cooking in Another World, but that's about it. That's about all I had going for it. So
I mean, I can't believe MAPPA.
Yeah.
Wasted a fucking season slot animating that shit, dude. Tragic.
Yeah. But I really like that one. I recommend people to check it out. It's like 774 on MAL. It's by Studio Trigger as well. So I know some of y'all like the Trigger.
I like Trigger.
Yeah.
Talking my language now.
Yeah. It's definitely very good looking. It's pretty interesting. It's funny. It's got great characters. The second show that I'm going to talk about that I'm really enjoying as well, before I get into my just rundown of like just list of decent shows, is Seventh Time Loop. I've been a pretty big advocate of this as well. Seventh Time Loop, the villainess enjoys a carefree life married to her worst enemy. This is a 7.85 on MAL. This is basically like if you like the villainous type shows, if you like the isekai fantasy shows, this is like a romance and it's just really fun. Like the main character Riche is really fun. She basically, in each of her lives, this is her seventh life, and in each of her lives she's lived a different life and became very knowledgeable about different things. Like one life she became knowledgeable about a doctor, being doctor. One life she became knowledgeable about being like a handmaid, like a servant type thing. And her life, she became knowledgeable about being a merchant. And we don't know about all of her lives, but she somehow dies after a war starts every time. And she dies. She died to the antagonist, obviously. But in her seventh life, they actually get engaged with each other. The person who killed her in the last life. And what makes this show so special is that she uses all her past life experiences, you know, the doctor, the merchant, and stuff like that, to live a better life in her seventh time. So it's really fun. It's like above average isekai villainess show, I think, with romance in it. So definitely would check that out. It's like a mid seven for me. You could probably go to an eight. Some other isekais that I'm really enjoying is The Wrong Way to Use Healing Magic. It's like just a fun isekai. Not really any major actions happened yet, but it's building up to a war, I guess. And I think it's going to be like the main character is going to be very strong because he has trained under a hard leader for so long. And it's going to just make him more way powerful. You know, it's your standard, you know, probably isekai that he just gets strong in, basically. Dr. Elise is another one. It's about a doctor or a woman that was a surgeon, a world-renowned surgeon in her past life, and she gets reborn, and basically into an older world or something like that, and is basically saving people's lives and stuff. It's really fun as well. And then I got, for y'all etchy people out there, or just not even like etchy, it's like it only shows like an etchy scene every once in a while. It's honestly the right amount of etchy and cute and like stuff like that. It's Hokkaido Gals Are Super Adorable. I really enjoy this. It's like a slice of life rom-com type thing. Definitely good. Definitely go check it out. It don't have like a lot of etchy moments in it, but it's got a lot of those like out of context moments, you know. So definitely go check that out. I got a few that's on the chopping block. Sasuke and Peeps, definitely on the chopping block for me. Chain Soldier, probably gonna drop that. I know we see Kriegs talk about it a lot. Yeah, it's High Dive. Definitely probably gonna drop it. It just don't have a whole lot going for me. If you like ecchi and you like the
mommy step on me energy.
Yeah, the mommy step on me energy. I think that's I think it does it well enough for you to watch it just on that alone. But for me, it doesn't have anything else going for it outside of that. And I'm behind on it. I think I've only watched like 3 episodes. Probably gonna watch like 1 episode more or maybe 2. And if it doesn't click, you know, then it's. And one that I'm really disappointed in is Witch and the Beast. I'm a little bit behind on this too, maybe 2 episodes, but it started out really good. I thought it has a really good premise. It's got a real good plot potential, but the pacing is kind of weird and the animation isn't consistent at all. Like sometimes the characters and the animation just look like shit, and sometimes they look really good, and then the pacing is just like really weird and sometimes way too fast, and sometimes things don't make sense, and I don't know. It's in a weird place right now. I'm probably going to keep on watching it for now, and if it keeps on having these issues that I do not like, then I'll probably end up dropping it, honestly. But that's about it. That's my little rundown. That's my little spiel. Now we'll let Dan take on his little monologue as well.
Mine is a lot shorter.
I tried to be as quick as possible. So
no, yeah, I mean, I'm just not watching as much as you are right now. But one thing I did start rewatching recently, and this is probably my third time watching it at this point, and that's Fire Force. And I really enjoy this show. Like, this is one of my favorite new gen shonen animes. Like, the sound effects and the fights in it are incredible. The plot is pretty good. You know, it's not like world ending, like best plot in the world, but I really vibe with the characters. The humor is really funny. There's like the only thing that really bugs me is there's one character and like they just go really etchy for no reason with her.
Yeah.
And like her name's Tamaki, and she randomly just loses all her clothes. And I'm like, this is, you don't need this. It was funny once. But like there's a whole episode related to her defeating some badass like member of the evil organization, the White Cloud, by just being scandalous, and he can't handle it.
I was gonna say, but they do need that, Dan. You're just mistaken.
I mean, if it was my girl Hibana or Maki, I'm in, but like Tamaki, nah.
Okay.
Nah. Give me the real action. But like, it's a really fun show. The characters are awesome. It's one of the few anime that I really like prefer the dub on. I think the dub voice acting is awesome in this. And they just do a really good job kind of like showing the emotions of the characters. Me and Deadly in Discord are trying to get Tyler to watch this, and we're like just basically bullying him into it at this point. So he's going to watch Fire Force. And if anybody else wants to join in on the Fire Force action, hop in the Discord, come hang out. Me and Deadly are going to be talking it a lot. The other show that I started recently, I haven't watched yet, is Magi. And I've watched like 5 or 6 episodes and I keep just getting sidetracked, but it's been pretty good so far. You know, Aladdin, who I think is the main character, is really fun. He's a young boy. He's got a djinn living in a flute named Ugo. And Ugo is a badass. And Aladdin really likes titties. So top tier character, in my opinion.
When did this anime come out? Because I've never heard of it.
Magi? Ooh.
Is it older?
Yeah. Magi release.
I've literally never heard of this, so.
2012.
12 years ago. So
yeah, and there's two seasons. The animation's definitely a little dated, but I think the story has a lot of potential. I mean, it seems really fun, and it's cool that like it's an anime like put in like the Middle East, you know, like that's not something we get very often. I know in JoJo's they go to Egypt, but like this is just set in like that world. Like we're talking genies, we're talking like, I mean, Aladdin is the main character, like his buddy is Sinbad. Like it's just kind of set in that, what's we're looking for,
desert pyramid, yeah, like vibes basically.
Yeah, I'm trying to, it's not the word I want to say, genre, but it's not genre, like
theme.
I don't know, theme, there you go. Yeah, there you go, big words. And like I said, I haven't got to watch a lot of it yet. I think I'm gonna download a bunch of it. I'm actually flying out to Colorado tomorrow, so I've got, you know, 8-9 hours in a plane over the next weekend, so I'll probably watch a bunch of it this week and then see how it goes. I mean, I gotta download something on my phone, right?
Yeah, might as well be anime, right?
Exactly.
What most 30-year-old adults would download, right?
I just love when I'm sitting next to an old lady and I'm watching, like, I was watching Fire Force on a flight last week, and I'm sitting next to this old lady, and she just looks over, so there's just, like, Hibana's massive knockers on my screen, and I'm like, I have a job, don't judge me.
I'm not a neat, I promise, even though you don't know what that means.
I leave my house, that's why I'm on a plane.
I'm not weird, I promise.
I am weird, but in a good way, trust.
You should have asked her if she liked anime, bro.
No, I'm not fucking talking. Dude, I've got my noise-canceling headphones on. I'm not talking to anybody except the person handing me a freaking soda and some crackers.
Be like, yo, you wanna listen?
God, no.
It was funny. I enjoy that. So,
oh yeah, but awesome, guys. Hope you enjoyed our kind of winter 2024 check-in, mid-season recap, I guess. Next week, these guys will be back with the rundown on Tuesday. I won't be on because I will be flying back from Colorado. So make sure to listen to that. Hopefully Bass is better. Or that could get awkward.
Yeah, I'm sure Bass will be good to go. He's usually pretty strong.
Resilient. Yeah.
Fuels up pretty fast, you know. So
And hopefully the rundown shows to pick it up a little bit. I see a lot of potential coming. So I'm excited if you guys see all to talk about it. I'm kind of sad I'm not going to get to join. And especially then
the Bruin one.
Yeah. I mean that. Yeah. Mashal's going to be a banger, so we got some heat coming. And then next week on the DGen, we're actually going to do our spring look ahead. We're going to be taking a look at some of the shows coming along next week. Excited for that, except for the tragic news about My Hero Academia being a weirdo. And we appreciate you guys listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.
Later. I'm not afraid.